by the Rain Man. Shovels out ahead to Payton. Leans over to dribble. Hopping and popping up the center of the floor. Jab step by Ian. Cross over into the lane with the left hand.
See ya.
Up and in. He's plugging it alone and laying it home. Gary Payton with a crossover dash to the rack. Try to come to Gary with a low lob pass. Kemp, oh, I got it!
Love.
He slings down a thunder block with a right hand. Sean Kemp over the Illustrated Man. A Herculean royal flush by the Kemper.
Sonic Nation Worldwide, thank you for downloading another edition of The Magic Carpet Ride, the official podcast of SB Nation's SonicRising.com. I am Joel Ashby, happy to be here with you, happy to get you ready for the NBA draft. Once the playoffs are over, the finals are over, the next thing's up, man, it's in a matter of days, the NBA draft. Before we get going, I want to give a quick shout out to my man Steve Stearns for providing us with all the sick music that we have on this podcast. You can check his stuff out at soundcloud.com/XTEVE. He's also a writer on SonicsRising.com. Thanks, Steve. You're the man. This episode is for you, buddy. Dedicating it to Steve Stearns. Hey, listen. I know you're out there somewhere in North America, somewhere in the world. We got people listening in Seattle and Washington State. You guys out there in the world, send me a quick email. Send me a quick tweet. Let me know that you're listening. And I'd love to mention you on the podcast. My email is themagiccarpetridepodcast@gmail.com. And my Twitter is MCRpodcast. Love to hear from you. Love to mention you on your show. Also, obviously, want to give a shout out to the motherland, SonicsRising.com. Keep up with all the updates as far as the King sale and everything and that goes. Board of Governor voting in a few days. All that kind of stuff. Keep up with that with Brian Robinson, Kevin Nescoda, and SonicsRising.com. Also, we got tons of articles following, you know, the Sonics history. We got game threads of all the games in the playoffs. SonicRising.com, your one-stop shop for everything Seattle Sonics and NBA. All right, listen, in my trek to make you an NBA draft expert to get ready for when we have our team, when we're looking at the draft, my gosh, can't wait for that day to come. I went out and I'm finding all the best draft minds in the NBA. One of them is Ed Isaacson. This guy is awesome. He's able to talk any player. I mean, in my interview with him, I threw out name after name after name. He didn't blink. He knows them all, including next year's draft. So listen, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some late lottery guys. We're going to talk about some international players. And then we're also going to talk about the NBA Hoops Summit. Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Randall. These guys coming up next year. This could be a great draft pick next year, too. Ed Isaacson from NBA Draft Blogs got all the information. Enjoy Ed Isaacson. Okay, I got Ed Isaacson from NBADraftBlog.com. Ed, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
You are a draft expert, and I guess we're here to talk all things draft. So why don't we talk a little bit about some of the mid to late lottery guys. Pick whoever you want to talk about and run with it.
Well, I mean, you do have some good players, and, you know, who will, you know, make some impact, and, you know, the later you get in the lottery. So, I mean, first to look at a guy like Shabazz Muhammad, who, you know, is a great athlete, but, you know, he's still learning how to play the game a bit. You know, he added a jumper this year, which, you know, he's still going to need a lot of work with it, at the next level. Right now we can only really hit it, when, you know, he has a lot of space and time to get it off, that's something he's really going to need to work on, along with his defense. But the physical tools are all there for him to be, you know, someone who 4 or 5 years down the line you may look and say, you know, how did this guy slip to, 10, 11, 12, wherever it may be.
Do you find, you might hate this question, the comparison question, because no player is really that much like another player, but just give us an idea what type of player you might turn into.
It's one of the things it's so tough to do any kind of legitimate comparison, especially when you're comparing, a 19-year-old kid to someone who's, possibly 27, 28, 30. But, I mean, Shabazz has, eventually could turn into, look at someone like, what Harrison Barnes is doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of that athleticism, Harrison Barnes became more aggressive this year. Harrison Barnes is more skilled. That's the kind of role you can sort of see, Muhammad taking on in a few years if he sort of follows along the same path.
So he'd be more of a scorer then?
That's what Shabazz Muhammad is. You're picking him because you want points. You don't care if it's efficient or not. You're just looking for points right now.
What about another small forward out of Georgetown, Otto Porter?
Love Otto Porter. Just everything about his game is probably the way you would want to teach someone how to play the game. And he just has a great knack, which a lot of the Georgetown guys do, of just sort of understanding what's going on the court. So not only can he score inside and outside, he's a good rebounder on both ends, but he's a really good passer, and he sees the court really well. He's not the greatest athlete, but, he understands, the game enough that he knows how to sort of play things to his advantage.
Now, neither of these guys really stood out in the tournament. In fact, I kind of felt watching them that their performance in the tournament might have hurt their draft stock a little bit. Would you agree?
No, I think, that sort of becomes the reaction that a lot of people just have with the tournament. It's sort of tough, especially you look at the Georgetown game. Georgetown just sort of got blindsided by the whole Florida Gulf Coast thing. And everyone was just out of their element. So I think, in Porter's case, it's going to be, people have just sort of seen the development from early his freshman year to, through the Big East tournament and see how far he's come. Sort of add to that, it's something a lot of people just don't talk about when it comes to the draft, but it's something that a lot of teams, it's very important to them, how these guys are interviewing with them and, how they come across, how open they are. Porter's going to, pass those tests all with no problem. Plus he still has some upside.
What type of team is going to make the best use of an Otto Porter?
Otto Porter is someone who, sort of a structured half-court kind of offense. You want him to be able to work with a solid point guard and, hopefully a more traditional kind of low post player. But again, he's the kind of guy you could place him sort of anywhere on the floor. I wouldn't put him in, say a place, Denver won't be picking this low, but, a place like Denver where they're looking to push the pace all the time. It's just, he could help out, but it's not his game. Where his strength lies is, he's an interchangeable piece for a team that runs, a very, structured half-court offense.
I was thinking San Antonio, but then again, it's almost like every rookie would do best in San Antonio under that system there.
You can see it, Kawhi Leonard is the perfect example. You put Kawhi Leonard on, 15 other teams, and he doesn't develop the way he has. But San Antonio was just the perfect place for him.
So let's keep it forwards. Let's go over to Anthony Bennett, UNLV, Canadian boy.
He's just sort of, a physical freak, with his size and his strength, his ability to, to hit from the outside, to play in the post. With him, you know, the big problems with him are, you know, defense. He just doesn't really know how to play it. And two, effort. He can sort of shut down, or just sort of go against what the team is trying to do, and just go off and do sort of his own thing. So if he can get that under control, and sort of have, you know, the right coach sort of mentoring him in the right direction, he could have a very good career and could make an impact in a year or two.
This draft seems to be really center heavy. After Noel, who's the best center in the draft?
Here's the thing: is a lot of the guys who are sort of being considered centers aren't really your traditional, because this, you know, the next guys you're sort of looking at after Noel is you're looking at Alex Len and Cody Zeller, both who I think are going to end up, you know, being more sort of a four who, you know, either a stretch four or a guy who plays sort of the high post, who's like Greg Monroe, that kind of player. Mm. So I think probably the next true center would probably be Mason Plumlee out of Duke, who, again, this is another odd case because for 3 years his development was sort of neglected. And before his senior year, I guess, someone took the time to really teach him how to be an offensive player. For a senior, he actually has some more upside because he doesn't know everything he's supposed to do yet as a low post player. But I think, you know, you look at a guy like him, Gorgui Dieng, I think is, sort of going to be someone who surprised a lot of people by how ready he is to play. And again, he just continues to improve, so I don't think we've seen his best yet. Go down a little lower, you have guys like Jeff Withey, and, I think we're still waiting on Adrian Payne's decision.
Can Jeff Withey's block numbers, like, will that translate to the NBA, his blocking ability?
Blocking ability, I mean, it does translate, but you're never going to, I mean, it's the same thing is going to apply to a guy like Noel, or last year's case, Anthony Davis. Most college players still don't get the knack that if you're going against a shot blocker, you go right into them. You know, you don't want to give them room to extend and be able to get up and block your shot. NBA players know this. So you're never really going to see sort of the block numbers that you do. But for a guy like Withey, it's going to make guys think twice before. That's it. He might not have the number of blocks, but it's going to make guards think, you know, a few times before going into the lane against him.
What about Kelly Olynyk and his offensive game? Same idea. Is that going to be able to translate to the NBA?
Again, it's more of the right system. You know, Kelly Olynyk, you know, sort of was great in, you know, when the Zags were able to push the pace a bit because it opened up the floor. His biggest challenge is going to be whenever, another big guy would get physical with him, that's when you would sort of see him shrink away and sort of float and stay to the perimeter. I don't think that's going to be really an option for him. If he wants to really get, you know, quality minutes on the floor, he's going to have to learn to be a more physical player.
Is Trey Burke far and away the best point guard in this draft?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt.
Is that right?
It's not even close. I tweeted it last night that because my next report is going to be on Trey Burke tomorrow. And for someone who I was high on all year, to then go back and look at the film and now start to realize that he made me better than I thought he was. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm not sure, you know, why he's not even, you know, I guess maybe because of the teams who are involved yet, but we don't know. You know, why wouldn't he be considered even a number one pick prospect? Wow. I mean, he's that good.
What type of system does he need to be? Like, does he need to be kind of a, you know, does the offense need to revolve around him and his scoring in order to really make the most of him?
No. I mean, that's the best part about him is, you know, he's very comfortable without the ball in his hands, and he knows how to stay active, but, you know how to get to the ball when he needs to. But on the offensive end, the thing that sort of separates him from, you know, all the other guards in this draft is just his ability to make reads on the pick and roll. You know, he sort of has, you know, the vision and the patience that you want, you know, that you're hoping to get out of your, you know, 4 or 5 year veteran at the NBA level. He's, you know, almost there already. So, I mean, ideally, yeah, you would want him in a pick and roll heavy offense because he knows how to make the reads. But, you know, I think he's, you know, capable enough as a scorer and in other roles that he can sort of fit in anywhere right now.
After him in the point guard spot, I mean, you look at who? C.J. McCollum, you look at Carter Williams. Who would you say is the next best?
For me, it's McCollum. You know, assuming and from everything I heard, you know, he's now back 100% from the injury that kept him out, you know, almost all year. But again, this is a guy, I mean, there's not going to be sort of the upside that you get with Burke or Carter Williams. But, you know, C.J. McCollum will be good for a team that needs someone to come in right away. You know, maybe even like a, you know, sort of a lower you get in the lottery. He can step in and contribute well right away. And again, the good thing about him is he doesn't need to have the ball in his hands. You know, you can run him at the two if you want to, and play him with another point guard if that's what the offense needs. But you know, with the ball in his hands, he just has so many different ways to score.
So who is not considered in the lottery? I mean, we're pretty early here. We have, you know, a few weeks really until the draft, and who's going to be sneaking into the lottery, or at least who deserves to be that's not really getting much attention right now?
I mentioned him earlier. I think Gorgui Dieng has a, you know, he's sort of hovering, you know, in the late teens, early 20s, in a lot of people's minds. I think once he starts to work out, and people just, you know, can see how much he can actually do that he didn't get to show, that he's someone you could see sort of sneak up a bit. You know, but I think for the most part, maybe you'll look at a guy like Jamal Franklin, you know, sort of these guys who were sort of high volume shooters at the college level. But if you can sort of, you know, if a team sees that, you know, they have what it takes to sort of control them, sort of the way that Klay Thompson was at Washington State, you know, that if you get him with the right people and, you know, sort of get him the right touches that they can make an impact, you know, Jamal Franklin could possibly be someone along those lines who could sneak up.
Let's talk a little bit about international guys. First off, I mean, look throughout the years, there was a time when, I mean, the NBA went to international crazy. And I think in a lot of cases with like, Nikolai Skidisvili, who drafted by Denver, and they kind of got burned by that. Do you feel like the NBA has kind of shied away intentionally from international players, or is there just not the talent this year?
I don't think they're shying away. I mean, you said you're not seeing it as much at, you know, especially in the lottery or, you know, or the first 20 picks like you used to. One, there's, you know, a lot of teams have a more pressing need at this point. And they need, you know, if there's no guarantee that they're going to be over and able to play with you, you know, you don't want the Ricky Rubio situation going on again. I mean, it sort of worked out for Minnesota, but, you know, it may not have. You know, as well as it did. And I think you're starting to see, you know, because the talent pool at the college level is becoming, you know, more and more heavy at the senior level, I think, you know, you're going to start seeing a lot of the NBA teams that used to do sort of the draft and stash of foreign guys, international guys will, start investing more in sort of ready talent that they can, put in the D League for a bit. There's all these different factors that are sort of, weighing what the NBA can do with all this talent that's out there and how they can sort of maximize it. Right now, it's the international players who seem to be suffering, but in a few years, the need to come back again as the talent rises.
So talk a little bit, who are some of the guys internationally that we're going to hear their name called maybe in the first round of the draft?
Rudy Gobert, I think word just came out that he has declared for the draft. Very raw, played in France. I mean, didn't really play a lot, but over 7 feet. It's a project. But in the right hands, he could sort of, in a few years, be able to, make a difference on the team. With the Hoop Summit, Dennis Schroeder, showed his ability to play the point, play tough defense.
Where's he out of? What country is he from?
Germany, I believe.
Okay, he was, the little guy, really fast.
Yes, was pressuring the ball all over,
He looks fantastic to me. Watching that game, I came away probably more impressed, maybe because I had never really heard of him. I was more impressed with him than probably anybody.
He said he had as good a game as you can have. It's a tough sort of situation, sort of measuring up how guys do, when you have international players who have played, professionally, matching up against high school kids. That sort of leads to, when you overvalue what you see, that leads to sort of Bismack Biyombo being picked in the top 10. That's something people would like to take back.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the Hoop Summit. I'm glad you brought that up. You had some of the big names. I mean, we talk about this draft coming up and it's okay, but I feel like, do you feel like this? The next draft is going to be one of the big ones, similar to the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh draft?
The potential is there. I sort of hesitate until I see some of these guys, play, a year of college. It's a different game. Andrew Wiggins, I'm not going to deny his talent and, his ability. He should be ready for the pros in a year. But looking at, the Harrison twins and some of the other guys, Julius Randle, Jabari Parker, they could be. But I really think it's too soon to sort of tell what they can do.
So you put Wiggins in a kind of a tier ahead of these guys?
Yeah. Wiggins is someone who, I think just sort of the combination of his athleticism, his body, he has sort of what it takes, and his skill just keeps getting better. And he has an understanding of what the pro game is.
Is it unrealistic? I didn't want to say unfair. Is it unrealistic to call him the next LeBron James? Compare LeBron James in high school compared to Wiggins right now.
No, he's not there. I don't know if we'll see another LeBron at the high school level. It was just, LeBron just had, almost everything he needed, at an early age. Wiggins is still sort of coming into a lot of it, but it's there. That's what sort of separates him from the other guys in his class. LeBron was able to show it all by the time he was a senior in high school.
Even his body, he had a man body in high school, and he could control it like he was, 27 years old.
He's someone who is that he, it's that it's going to be tough for us to, at any point in the future to ever, want to call someone the next LeBron James.
Right. Well, Ed, I've kept you longer than probably I promised I would, and I really appreciate you going through all the names and letting me throw some stuff at you here. And why don't you promote some of your stuff? Where can we read your stuff?
We can find, you know, my scouting reports and my interviews with the players at NBADraftBlog.com. And you can just sort of find all my thoughts on basketball and stuff. Just head over to Twitter at NBADraftBlog.
Ed, you're awesome. I really appreciate this. As we get closer to the draft, I wouldn't mind hitting you up for a couple last thoughts, if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
Thanks so much. All right, I want to say one more thank you to Ed Isaacson from NBADraftBlog.com. Also want to give one more shout out to Steve Stearns, co-producer of the podcast, for all the music that you are here. Enjoy the playoffs. And when you're saying your bedtime prayers tonight, say a little prayer for Chris Hansen. Ask God to bless that man with an NBA franchise. Make sure you check out SonicsRising.com for all the posts, for all the game threads, for all the updates on King's Sale. And listen, keep spreading the Supersonic love. Get on the magic carpet and ride.